It has been said that all that is necessary for evil to exist is for good people to do nothing. When we see injustice, when we see evil in the world, we naturally, good people, want to do something about it. This Tuesday marks the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade, and every year, and indeed throughout the year, when we think of the tragedy of abortion in our country, no doubt good people want to do something. As I got up the other morning, I saw that they had once again, the school kids had put the crosses on the lawn out there to remind us of the 53 million young children, just like them, who are not here. They're doing something. Our bishops, in fact, have asked us for these 9 days on either side of the anniversary that we would engage in prayer and fasting for life. We want to do something, and we know this is a spiritual battle. I'm reminded myself of an event that took place for me many years ago now, back in the year 2001. I had graduated from college in 99, but I was still hanging around the St. Lawrence Center in Lawrence, and there was an opportunity to go on the March for Life to Washington, D.C., and I decided I would go. I remember on the bus, and it was a long bus ride, 24 hours on the bus to get to Washington, D.C. It gave us a lot of time to share a little bit about why each of us was there, and each of us took our turn at the microphone sharing what we expected from the march and why we were there. And I remember that, not having been there before, I didn't exactly know what to expect, but when it came my turn to share why I was there, I felt that somehow that what we're experiencing with abortion in our country is not unlike the Holocaust of World War II. People knew it was going on, but good people didn't do enough to stop it, at least not right away. And now, of course, we look back on that and everyone can say how evil that was, but the question remains, especially for those who are German, and I have friends that are haunted by these questions today, what did you do? You were there, what did you do? And I thought on that bus that someday, at that time I was thinking my grandkids, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are going to want to know, like our kids do today with the Holocaust, did that really happen? And yeah, we'll have to say it did. But then more importantly, they're going to ask, and what did we do? What did we do to make a difference? And on that bus, I said, that's why I'm here. I want to be able to say that I did something. I will be able to tell the next generation, the generation after that, that I marched on Washington. I engaged in prayer vigil with thousands of our fellow Catholics around the country. I did something. I saw a video recently on the internet that caught my attention, because one of the things you notice about the March for Life is oftentimes the president will send a message to the march in support of what we're doing. Now, obviously, President Obama has not sent any message of support to the March for Life, but there was a video on the internet recently that had taken some of the president's speech that he had given after the Sandy Hook shooting and had used it as a video to help promote the March for Life. And I noticed the great connection between that feeling after Sandy Hook of wanting to do something to prevent more innocent loss of life and the words of the president are actually just beautiful when you consider that they should quite rightly apply equally to unborn children as well as the victims of Sandy Hook. I just share with you a few of those that caught my attention. The president says of these children, and we can think of all children, they had their entire lives ahead of them. Birthdays, graduations, weddings, kids of their own. This is our first task, caring for our children. It's our first job. If we don't get that right, we don't get anything right. That's how, as a society, we will be judged. And by that measure, can we truly say as a nation, we are meeting our obligations? Can we honestly say that what we're doing is enough to keep our children, all of them, safe from harm? I've been reflecting on this the last few days, and if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no. We're not doing enough, and we will have to change. Surely we can do better than this. If there is even one step we can take to save another child, then surely we have an obligation to try. We can't accept that this is routine. Are we really prepared to say that we're powerless in the face of such carnage, that the politics are too hard? Are we prepared to say that such violence visited on our children year after year after year is somehow the price of our freedom? We rise in protest of Roe versus Wade to say that no, the killing of 53 million innocent children, 3,000 every day in the United States, is not the price of our freedom. We can do better than this. We want to do something. As I look at, especially in the wake of the shootings at Sandy Hook, I think we're right to say we've got to do something. Now, I am not here to engage in a debate on gun control or anything like that. Good Catholics can come down on any side of the debate on gun control. But one thing I think we can say is that when we see a great tragedy like that, we want to do something to make a difference, and we want to do it right away. The problem is, I think the devil gets us in this trap that we make one decision after another, and after a long chain of decisions, finally we see what happens, and we want to fix it right away. Right away, we want to say, we want to stop shootings. We want to stop abortion. The problem is, outlawing guns won't stop shootings, and even outlawing abortion won't stop abortion. Because the problem is way deeper than simply the outward consequences that we can see right now. I think it goes back to, ultimately, a respect for all life. As Mother Teresa once famously said, if a mother can kill her own child, how can we tell others not to kill each other? We have a great devaluing of life in our country, and that manifests itself in so many ways. But I think it's even deeper than that. Why this great disrespect for life? I think we disrespect life so much today because we have grown to disrespect the institution from which life comes, namely the family. In our first reading today, we're reminded in sacred scripture that God chooses to use marriage as the sacred sign of his love for us. It's not surprising then that as we look at our society today to see that the sickness that manifests itself in violence and shooting and disrespect for life is really pointing to a sickness of the family. We have ceased to understand what marriage is about. The president refers to the fact that, are we really there letting these children know that they are loved and teaching them to love in return? Where is it that children learn that they are loved and learn to love in return? Well, it's the family. If we get the family wrong, it's not surprising that everything else falls apart. Notice in our gospel today, Jesus certainly came to this world because he wanted to fix things. And we see him doing that in his public ministry. There are people that are sick and he heals them. There are people that are dead and he raises them. Jesus is here to make the world better, to fix it. But notice what he does first. His first move at fixing the world is to fix a simple matter at a wedding. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus' first miracle is at a wedding. He knows that if he's going to fix the world, we have to start with the family. Simple matter of not enough wine. The truth is, if we are serious about changing the things we see wrong with our world, and whatever that is, abortion or violence or you name whatever it is, I bet if we look, we can find the root of the problem in the family. After all, who is it that goes and does these mass shootings? Often it's people who have no family, or they come from a broken family. I can tell you firsthand from serving outside the abortion mills that the young women who come there are ones that have no family, who do not have the support they need, who do not think that their baby will have a family. It all goes down to a sickness in our families. So perhaps today we too look around and we wonder, what can we do? Is there anything we can do to make a difference? Well, I think we've got to start not with a 24-hour bus ride to Washington, D.C., or any new laws that might supposedly immediately give a solution, but we've got to look and say, am I being the best husband, father I can be? So oftentimes it's an absent father in these broken families. Am I being the best wife and mother I can be? Are our children truly the center of our vocation of marriage? Children, are you truly trying to be a good member of your family? Do you listen to your mom and dad to try to do what they ask, to sacrifice? Maybe you don't want to do those chores, but as a member of a family, you need to. Maybe dad doesn't want to go to work every day, but he does it because he needs to support the family. Think of the mothers who countlessly sacrifice their hours for their children, for their families. This is where we learn to love and sacrifice, and this is what builds up a culture of life in our society. I invite you for some ideas of what you might do with your family to strengthen it on my website, seanthebaptist.org. You might check out my homily from Holy Family Sunday from a couple weeks ago. But most of all, I think as we prepare to celebrate this week devoted to life, that we not just stop at trying to outlaw abortion or limit abortion, but that we truly try to hit the root of the problem, our families. That's what Jesus does. He starts with a marriage. If we want to change the world, if we truly believe that God will give us not just a little bit better, but truly wine in abundance from this water that we have now, then we've got to start right at home. If we give Jesus that little bit that we've got, but we fill it to the brim and give it all, Jesus will work a great miracle. As John Paul II told us, as the family goes, so goes the nation. This week, as we pray and sacrifice to build a culture of life, I pray that we might build and strengthen our families. That's something that we can do right now, right at home, and it doesn't even take a 24-hour bus ride.